It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hi, I'm Lisa Maynard.
I'm Kirk Maynard.
And today we're very fortunate to have a special guest in our studio. And Kirk, who do we have?
We have Treg Taylor. He is the Attorney General, the General Counsel to Governor Dinleavy.
That's correct.
Welcome. Good to be here.
Welcome to the interior, and thank you for bringing warm weather.
Yeah, glad I could have done that. We have a sunny day in Anchorage as well that I flew up, so that's a great day for all of Alaska, I think, at that point.
100%. You know.
Well, we have been, in the last couple of months, we've been educated on what may or may not be happening with the potential gas line, the differences in this gas line than the last three. Treg came up and a couple different times, I believe, and has been trying to educate the public on what to expect and what could be coming down the pipeline. And the big thing is to get the word out. And so that's what we've been trying to do, and that's what we're hoping to do today, is just get some information people that listen to the show don't know, what they can do and how they can spread the word.
Yeah, sounds like a great plan. I'm excited to give some of the information. Obviously, this is a huge deal for Alaska, and the more information people have, I think they'll get excited like I am about the potential.
Perfect. Do you want to, can we just real quickly, for the naysayers, the people that don't know anything about
what's or just haven't heard anything, and just a real high level overview of where what is going on at the moment
and what's different from this one for the last three?
Well, I think right now we just have a lot of things going in our favor to finally see that Alaska gas line to fruition. I think we see a lot of things happening internationally that are boding for our favor. We saw what happened in Europe after Russia attacked Ukraine. Of course, our Asian allies are taking note of that. They clearly would prefer to buy their energy from friendly countries, countries that support their democracies. And they are some of our best allies, the democratic allies overseas. And so we want to support them at the same time. And then we're seeing problems down the Panama Canal right now.
Yes.
That are boding in our favor. When you have 10-day wait times and uncertainty on both ends of the Panama Canal, that adds a lot of expense to anything shipped through the canal.
I've seen some of the pictures of the tankers just sitting out for weeks on end waiting to go through the canal, and it's becoming a bigger and bigger mess.
Yeah, it seems like it's not solving itself very quickly. And then, you know, there's alternate shipping, right? So sometimes the gas coming out of the Gulf states, you know, Gulf of America there, are now traversing the point of Africa. And that's unfriendly waters. You got pirates, you got all kinds of bad actors down there. And so a lot of shippers won't even peruse that part of the ocean. And so with all that uncertainty, man, a certain line through friendly waters, that 7 to 8 day voyage from Alaska directly to our allies in Asia makes a lot of sense right now. For both us, obviously, we'd love to participate in this project as Alaskans, and for our Asian allies.
And I think some people can get caught off guard that how close it is. As you said, it would just be days, because Korea is literally not that far away from us, and it would be through friendly waters, which seems like a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, no, I was in the Seoul Tower, and I was looking at distances to various locations, and I looked at the distance to Anchorage, and I'm like, man, that's closer than I thought it was. And then I did a little calculation. We are closer to Seoul than we are to Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
So that's the location we have, right? And so we need to be developing those relationships with our Asian allies and help them to not rely on potential enemies for their energy needs.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Perfect. So one of the big differences we're seeing in this potential project than other ones is demand.
Okay.
Both for the interior, for our state itself, and also for international partners.
Yeah, the critical needs that we have for energy within the state. Now, Fairbanks has always been in need of a cheaper source of energy, as we've seen, you know, when we've seen these booms around the lower 48 and in some of the state's economies. There's two parts going on there. And the second part, I don't think people realize. But the first part, obviously, is good governance. You got to have the right permitting structures and the right regulations in place to encourage business to grow. But then the other part is all these businesses need a steady, reliable, cheap source of energy. And if you don't have that, you're not going to see economic growth. And so that the gas pipeline could bring that to this state. And so when you have cheap, affordable energy in the state of Alaska, then that's when you're going to start to see data farms that are such a need with the AI. They need, I mean, the heavy computing that those those types of applications require and the heat that they produce, they would love to build in a friendly state like Alaska if they had that cheap source of and reliable source of energy.
And we even run into in real estate on the commercial side, some of the larger outside companies won't consider us because we cannot provide them natural gas for the area they're looking at to build or develop in Fairbanks. It's a barrier. They just move on and say no.
Yeah. I remember I was on the borough planning board for 9 years, and I can't remember however many years ago, when Target was looking at the that business park next to what's now the Circle K
and Brown
North of Johansson. Yeah, and you know that project was a no-go thanks to no natural gas.
The whole project fell apart.
Right.
So it'd be a wonderful thing for Fairbanks.
Oh, yes. No, I think you know, and it's and Glenn Farm was presenting at the Governor's Energy Conference last week. I don't know how much you know about what happened there, but the Brendan Duvall, the CEO of Glenn Farm, gave a sort of an update to everybody in the audience. And one of the things he talked about was potential gas flow to Fairbanks by 2028 with that gas line project. Now, obviously, the whole gas line won't be done.
Right.
But certainly Fairbanks in 2028 possibly could be seeing a reliable source of gas and cheaper energy.
And I read the article about him speaking. He mentioned that it was fully permitted. Was I correct on that for the pipeline now? And is that a change from the last update that they are now fully permitted?
So the pipeline's been fully permitted for a while now by AGDC. So they were trying to put everything in place that they possibly could to attract a partner. Mm-hmm. And so, the holder of the rights to that pipeline is 8-Star. And so AGDC, what happened was they owned 100% of that. And they were looking for that partner to take over the majority of that and to run this project. And that's where Glenn Farm came in, purchased the 75% of 8-Star. So AGDC still owns that 25%. But Glenn Farm is now the developer of that project. And they're in the driver's seat. And so they're doing things like partnering with Worley to
update. Yeah, I read about that. It's the engineering firm.
Yeah, so that we got to get the updated feed. It's the first thing that needs to happen. And that's front-end engineering and design for those that aren't in that line of business. But that's the feed that will be done and completed by the end of the year.
Wow.
Brendan Duvall indicated they are on schedule for that. And I talked to Worley afterwards. And they were also indicating the same thing, that they're on schedule for that. And once that feed is completed, that's when that final investment decision could occur by the end of the year. And that's where they're slating. So we could know, as Brendan said, they could be ordering pipe into December this year if that all goes according to plan.
It's amazing the pieces they put together to make this move this quickly. Because, I mean, when you spoke the last time at Mike Sampson's house and did a briefing, you were mentioning this would be the largest infrastructure project in the United States history.
Right.
And a state with not a ton of necessarily infrastructure per se. It's amazing to get all these pieces in place.
Well, I was thinking about it the other day with a group trying to figure out when the last major infrastructure project occurred in Alaska that wasn't related to a military base. I mean, we love the military. We are an absolute part of the strategic plan for the United States and keeping the U.S. Safe. And I'm grateful for that. And we're going to continue to play a larger and larger role as we bring in icebreakers and the Navy has more of a presence here in Alaska. So that's going to be growth that we're going to see. But, man, it would be really nice to have some growth in the private sector.
Yes.
And see some development projects, see some roads go in, seeing some new mines come on board. And that is the promise. And that's what is all part of that unleashing Alaska's extraordinary resource potential. That AO that came out day one with Trump, the key part of that one is the Alaska gas line, but it touches much more than that. It touches all kinds of different economic drivers for the state.
Yeah, it was almost every corner of our it was amazing to read what the different areas, not just liquefied natural gas, that the administration is looking at, which would be wonderful for our state.
Yeah, no, it's basically Alaska's wish list is all in that EO, and we helped draft that. Many hands helped with that. There's the congressional folks all had a hand in that as well. And so what was produced was absolutely what Alaska needed. And what's amazing is we have a president that really understands Alaska, cares about Alaska. I had a chance to meet him, and he he was asking questions of Alaska that demonstrated this depth of knowledge of the state. And I was blown away by the level of his questions, because it really showed an understanding of what is important up here. And his relationship with Governor Dunleavy is great, and it's going to be a great help for the state in moving these projects forward. And so I couldn't be more pleased to be the Attorney General at this time, helping make sure that these projects happen. I've told people if we drop the ball as a state, that's the one thing that could really stop the momentum that we have, and so we can't do that.
So we ducks in row.
We got to make sure everything's lined up, and Governor Dunleavy has made that very clear to me. Greg, don't screw this up with a legal problem at the last minute, right? And so he is monitoring this extremely closely. Obviously, this probably is. It goes without saying, this is his number one project to see done. We'd love to see this go through.
Can we circle back to just potentially getting gas to Fairbanks in 2028? So
we'd like to circle back to that portion of the conversation.
The gas line will follow the oil pipeline to a certain extent, and then obviously peels off at some point. I don't know where that is. And then so would we stem off from somewhere in the Fairbanks area that would?
The numbers I've been given is 33-mile line, 12-inch pipe. About $100 million in cost to get the gas from the pipeline to Fairbanks.
Okay.
Yep.
And then it will go down to South Central to feed the Anchorage and all their needs down there. And then he's born and raised, but I was brought up later. Yeah. And I didn't realize by water to Nikiski and Anchorage are only 42 miles apart, because I just only driven in an RV, and it's a much different experience.
As a fish swims,
it is. So I live right on that coast in South Anchorage, and you look across and there's the Kenai, and then you're like, let's go fishing. And then 5 hours later, you're finally at the fishing spot, right? So the pipeline obviously is not going to follow the road. It's going to go under the water, and it does split off north of Anchorage, so that's where it leaves the TAPS footprint, and then heads to Nikiski, where that LNG facility will be. And they anticipated, I think some of the numbers, and I hope I'm quoting Brendan Duvall correctly from Glenfarn, but that was a 2029 completion on that LNG project and gas flow to that project at that point. But that's aggressive.
Yeah,
that's going to take everything going right. That's going to take a lot of things lining up. But Brendan Duvall said in that speech, he said, where else do you have a pipeline project that's been permitted, the right of way has been secured, you have both the federal and the state government 100% on board, all pushing in the same area? And he says that doesn't occur anywhere else in the world. That only is occurring here. And then he started talking about some of the pipelines that have seen huge delays and huge overruns on money and spending in Canada. They've had several pipeline projects recently. And he went on to explain that those delays and that over budget part comes because they didn't have the permits in place yet and they didn't have the right of ways. And so that's the huge delays to those kind of projects. We've got that taken care of. And so certainly Glenfarne feels bullish on this project. Worley's got their engineering work out to come. But and again, that's a company that we're glad to see on board with this project, because they have, 65 years extensive experience in Alaska.
I was reading their background.
Yeah, no, it's if they could have picked a partner, and that would probably be the best one that we, if we could have said, hey, pick this group, that would probably been the one. And the other nice part about that is they're really just updating the feed that had been done by, other world-class firm and Exxon and Conoco. So
previous attempts.
Yeah, previous attempts. So they have already had great engineering go into this project, and now's the time just to update.
And so we did see that we had a number of delegations from the Trump administration come through, a couple of weeks ago? And then they were up on the slope. Was this connected to the liquefied natural gas, or is that more of a just in general put boots on the ground and sort of know more about Alaska?
Yeah, no. So the three cabinet level members that came up for the trip, Lee Zeldin from the EPA, Secretary Wright, and Secretary Burgum, Department of Interior. So a lot of that visit was not gas line related. He told us in a meeting that we had with him when we were going through that EO, President Trump's EO, he basically said, hey, I'm the Secretary of Department of Interior. Over 50% of my assets are in Alaska. And so over 50% of my time should be directed at Alaska. Now, when's the last time you heard that from?
Never.
And so he was impressive because I know by the end of the week when we finally had that meeting with him, he had been all over Alaska, had made absolute use of his time here, filled his days and part of his nights. And so he was pretty exhausted by the time he got to us. But even then, he was energetic. He was asking the right questions that said that, you know, told me that he understands where we're coming from. And he was just fine tuning sort of his thoughts and perspective on where we are as Alaska. And so we've got the A team working on this. And so that's why I'm more bullish on this project than I've probably ever been as an Alaskan.
We're going to step away for a quick break, and we'll be right back to continue our discussion about the possible liquefied natural gas pipeline.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. As our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations, there's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it. As your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. Period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome back to Alaska Realty Today, and we're going to continue our discussion with Craig Taylor, a current Attorney General of the state of Alaska, and we are discussing the possibility of the liquefied natural gas pipeline to our interior and down to Cook Inlet and then on to the Kenai.
Yep, no, it's going to be a great project. The liquefaction will come down at the Nikiski LNG facility. Up until then, it'll be all gas. So in the beginning, it'll be free flow gas, and then once some of the other producers come online, it'll be pressurized once we start the export process. But for in-state use, there'll be enough flow in that line without the pressurization system.
Great.
I'm learning more each day.
Yeah. Wonderful. I think one of the things we wanted to talk about, I don't know if you want to jump right into it, Craig, but the workforce, and it was one of my big takeaways when we listened to you talk a couple months ago, was we're not going to have enough people.
Do we have enough humans,
we have
humans to do this?
In Alaska, we might even have enough humans in the United States to, I'm trying to think back to the oil pipeline and, you know, the welders that we got from cleared out the state of Oklahoma and got them up here, but I'm assuming we've got to get everybody prepared for a high need in terms of the workforce.
Yeah, that's been a big emphasis for a long time now, in trying to get people trained up, people get interest in the trades, providing those offshoots to high schoolers to become welders and pipe fitters and all the things, electricians that we're going to need. Because you're right, there's no way we can staff this from within Alaska right now.
Yeah.
During that 6-year sort of construction phase, we're talking 5,000 workers at a time, you know,
needed
at
on
time needed for that pipeline. Once the number that I heard Glenn Farn give for after the construction is complete would be about 1,000 people full time to
that
maintain
still
the
be...
lines and the LNG facility and the whole gamut of that project. So that's a considerable jump in workforce for here, especially when you look at the available people right now. I know I was a commissioner of municipal light and power before it got purchased by Chugach Electric in Anchorage, and we built that power plant. And it was a problem getting the welders and pipe fitters up. We had to do all calls throughout the United States to try to find enough workers, and we were still short on that project. So it'll be a challenge to get that workforce. But you're right; it's absolutely going to tax what Alaska has to offer, and we're definitely going to have to go outside for help.
How would a private project like this look like a differ from a public project? And I'm thinking of the F-35 bed down. You know, we had, what, 3-5 years of planning and just knowing exactly who's coming, when they're coming, how the family so for us up in Fairbanks for the Eielson bed down, it was, you know, we were fully informed and we can gear for it. The builders could gear for it. And this feels like it's coming a little bit faster than that. We're not gonna have a 3-5 year bed down for this project.
Well, you know, luckily AGDC has been doing a lot of prep work on this project, trying to get that workforce in condition, seeing this project come down the tracks. Clearly, we're not going to be able to, like I said, to man the entire project. So it'll be important to bring in folks from other areas. And, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure going along in the lower 48 as well. So we're going to have competition, and so we're going to have to be competitive. Glenn Farn's going to have to be competitive with those wages, and we'll see what partners they bring in for the construction portion of this.
And then we're still going to have to face that we have the unique housing situation in parts of Alaska where we might don't necessarily have everything that is needed for large projects all at once. It is one of the things in the interior we've been challenged with for years, but the more information we know, maybe the more people can look at opportunities of what they can contribute to help with, because there's going to be a need for housing when this happens.
No, there's going to be a need for food, restaurants, yeah. Housing, laundry. You just go down the gamut of services that Alaska's
life
can offer. So this will be a big opportunity for us to step up and provide those things that this workforce is going to need. And I'm really excited to see Alaska step up to the opportunity and make this a bonus for their businesses and their families, and keep as much of this construction cost within Alaska that we can. I know, you know, the Glenn Farn contract has provisions where they have to hire local businesses and local workers
as we're able to provide.
And so certainly the opportunity will be there, and I think that you'll probably have players you've never heard of step it up and meet that need, and that goes to the private entities and private businesses and the power that they provide in these types of projects.
It's just a good thing that we're at an all-time high unemployment rate, so
it's so easy
to find people.
It's so easy to find employees right now. Yeah. But the trades is going to be the big part
sure.
of it, is yeah. and having kids seriously considering the trades. And there is a number of great programs throughout the interior and all of Alaska where these kids can get into it, and with very little barrier for them to go down that path.
I was going to say, hopefully somebody's getting out to the trade schools like Hutchison Career Center and the other trade schools around Alaska that are getting these guys prepared.
Well, and there's even a lot of summer camps that are provided for kids about the trades. I just saw a huge flyer that they're doing. So there's some movement and more pushing out the trades, which is always important, especially for us here in the interior.
Yeah, you've seen that trend growing for the last about 10 years that high schools are making that transition, having vocational opportunities for high schoolers from the, you know, right within the high school, or having special schools. I just visited one out in the Valley that does just that. And so those are the types of things we need to see happen, because again, we'd like to provide as much of this labor as we can.
Well, and even some of the other initiatives that the Trump administration has mentioned for Alaska, there's trades are going to be needed in that area too, when we the other possibilities for us. So I mean, it's a great path for young people, and not even young people, even someone that wants to change their mind and do something else with their life at this point.
I've always enjoyed that about Alaska. I think it's relatively sometimes unique to Alaska. We're seeing more of it, but you know, in Alaska, your neighbors are come from all walks of life. It doesn't matter the how fancy the houses are, how you know what kind of car they're driving, but you got a teacher right next to a doctor, right next to a plumber, right next to an electrician, and then if they're unfortunate enough to live next to an attorney, but, you know, we tend to show up in that the same neighborhood. So I love that about Alaska, where you've got your so-called white collar and your blue collar working right next, living next to each other, and I think it adds so much flavor to our culture and the way we live and the importance we put on the trades and the labor. Yeah.
When you have people move in from outside and we're doing our property tours and something, we do have that barrier of trying to explain everyone lives with everyone, and there's not the cookie cutter gated community that there some come from other parts of the United States. And so, but most people warm up to it immediately and like the change and like the fact that everyone sort of lives amongst themselves.
Yeah. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left. Are there any other updates you might want to give us?
Yeah, I know at that energy conference, we had delegations from multiple companies from Asia, and we had delegations from their governments here at the same time. So really positive developments there. I think the producers are all making it known that they're completely on board with this project 100%. Because you remember the problem for years and years was the chicken and the egg or the cart and the horse. Like, we don't have buyers, therefore the producers aren't ready to sell. Well, producers, please get ready to sell, but there's no buyers. And then, you know, there's no buyers because there's no gas. So it's that sort of has been pushed aside, and we're all rolling forward, and everybody's pulling in the same direction. So again, really positive things I'm seeing, and I'm really hopeful that this project is going to move forward. You know, and the other part that I don't think people realize is how much the president is pushing on this, and how much the governor is pushing on this. I mean, the governor made a long trip through Asia.
Yes, I saw some interesting pictures. There were some height discrepancies in a few of his pictures.
I can only imagine having stood next to, you know, I'm a fairly tall guy, but next to him, I look like a little short guy. And so, but, you know, and the level of cooperation we have from the federal departments on this is I've never seen anything like it in all my career. And then you got Trump actively pushing and traveling to Asia for these exact same things. And you better believe that part of those tariff deals for those countries is purchase Alaska gas. And that's how much the president cares about this project. It really is his signature project.
And it holds their feet to the fire.
Oh, 100%.
Take some of the potential risk away with having those types of agreements in place for our state going down this pathway.
Yeah. No, those types of agreements are absolutely vital to this project. Without the purchase agreements, the project doesn't happen.
Attorney General, thank you so much for your time. We could obviously be talking about this all day, but we only have 30 minutes. We appreciate your time. I know it's a whirlwind for you for the day you're up here in Fairbanks, so we appreciate you edging out some time for us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. This has been a fun conversation, hopefully educational for your listeners. Hopefully your listeners are getting excited about this.
And before we go, is there a website or anywhere else if somebody wants to go get more education?
Oh, that's a good question. AGDC's website's probably the best place to find this information, and they'll probably have all the press releases that Glen Farms producing.
And then we'll have the show in the archives. If anyone wants to re-listen, if there is a little too much information all at once, you can just listen to the archives and refresh what we talked about.
Perfect.
Everyone go enjoy their Saturday, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to kfar.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, an Last Frontier Media Active production.